We're going to be in the book of Judges tonight. Judges is such a fun book. I love the book of Judges. It's towards the beginning. It comes after Joshua, which comes after Leviticus and Numbers. So it's like the seventh book of the Bible. So go ahead and flip there. We're going to be in Judges chapter 6. And we're going to be in a decent portion of that tonight. So just start in Judges chapter 6, verse 1. All right. I'm going to read. It's going to be on the screen. We'll read a chunk of it. I'm going to talk for a minute. We'll read another chunk, and then we'll get into tonight. All right? Sound good? All right. Here we go. So starting in Judges chapter 6, verse 1. The people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian overpowered Israel. Because of Midian, the people of Israel made for themselves dens that are in the mountains and the caves and the strongholds. For whenever the Israelites planted crops, the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them. They would encamp against them and devour the produce of the land as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance in Israel, no sheep or ox or donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents. They would come like locusts in number. Both they and their camels could not be counted. So they laid waste the land as they came in, and Israel was brought very low because of Midian. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord for help. Let me explain really quick. You probably got what's going on. But at this point in Israel's history, Israel is in a terrible, terrible cycle as a people and as a country. All right? It's a terrible cycle that goes like this. Israel disobeys God, and they don't follow his commands. They don't follow what he's told them to do. They don't live as he wants them. And so what ends up happening is God sends other people groups to oppress them in order to have their heart turn back to him. So Israel is disobedient. A nation rises up and overpowers them. Israel cries out and says, God, please save us. We hate this. We'll turn back to you. And then what God does is he raises up what's called a judge or a deliverer, somebody who's going to lead and help turn the people back to God. Okay? And Israel's been in this cycle. They disobey. A judge is raised up. They obey. Then they disobey. This rut. So we're in a time right now where the Midianites are the people who are rising up against Israel. And as you saw, as we read, they're doing all kinds of stuff. They're coming against them. They're taking all of their food, taking all of their cattle, oppressing them. And so we're about to witness God doing what he's been doing in raising up a leader, raising up a judge who's going to help deliver Israel. So we're going to fast forward a couple verses to verse 11. Chapter 6, verse 11 says this. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth at Ophrah, not Oprah, Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizurite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. Remember that phrase. It's going to come in very handy in a couple minutes. O mighty man of valor. And Gideon said to him, please, sir, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all the wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian. And the Lord turned to him and said this, go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do I not send you? And he said to him, please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him this, but I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man. So the title of my talk tonight is this, the name behind the name. The name behind the name. Here's my hope. My hope is this tonight. I believe that all of you have something that God's deposited deep inside of you. And I believe that God's given each of you vision for your life, great purpose for your life. But I also believe that sometimes we don't always see that. We don't always see what that looks like. We don't realize it. My hope tonight is that as we talk about the story of Gideon, that you're going to realize, you're going to come to understand that God has placed things inside of you that maybe you didn't even know that you had. And at the end of my talk tonight, we're going to have an opportunity to allow the Holy Spirit to speak things to you that maybe you've never heard before, maybe didn't even realize. So let me pray really quick, and then we'll keep going, all right? Would you close your eyes with me, and we're just gonna pray real quick. Holy Spirit, we just ask you to make yourself known tonight. God, would you just overpower my words, overpower what I've prepared, God, and I want to speak what you want to speak. God, I pray that whatever is needed for this moment, for these students in this room tonight, that you would let that come to fruition, God. Let them hear exactly what you want to hear. Challenge their hearts. God, I pray right now that they are open to what you want to speak to them. Holy Spirit, we just ask you to remove distractions, remove tiredness. God, remove any concerning thoughts. And God, let every one of us in here tonight just focus in on you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen? Okay, I want to ask you a question. The question is this. Have you ever completely underestimated someone or something because it didn't look a certain way? You ever, like, you judged a book by its cover, okay? So I was thinking about this. We do this a lot with restaurants, all right? So for example, maybe you're driving down the road and you see this restaurant. Have you ever had this happen before? And the restaurant looks completely disgusting on the outside. The shutters are falling off, it's dirty, and you think to yourself, that place is probably swarming with mice and rats, and it stinks, and there's no way that I'm gonna go in there. And somehow, for some reason, you end up going in the restaurant, and you sit down and you're like, oh man, I don't know why I'm here, God. Like, and you eat the food and you say, this is the best food I've ever had in my life. Has anybody ever had that kind of experience before? Anybody? Okay, there's an experience I had right here in Arvada. Anybody ever had Gomez burritos before? Are Gomez burritos not the best burritos you've ever had? Pretty close to the best burritos you've ever had. Pretty close. But if you are from Arvada and you remember where Gomez Burritos was located, if you remember their shop, that place was totally trashy, all right? You drove by and it was in an area where there was vacant buildings all around that were falling apart. Even the inside was a little dingy, but then you'd buy their food and it was like, these are the most incredible burritos I've ever eaten. And they were only a dollar. Oh my goodness, Gomez Burritos. On the outside, I would have called that place, like, that's a total dive, that's a trashy place, that's a health hazard. But then I went inside, oh my goodness, these are the most incredible burritos I've ever had. I love these, so, so good. Have you ever completely underestimated a person because of the way that they looked on the outside or their personality? You had a thought in your mind of what they were like or who they were, and then you realized, oh my goodness, I'm completely wrong. I assumed something based on their exterior that was totally not accurate. Like I looked at him on the outside and I thought, he's a total punk, or like, she's a total brat, or she's a total snob. We've all done this before. We've all done this before. It's called judging a book by its cover. And what we do when we judge a book by its cover is we assign names and we assign terms to things before we really know, like, what's going on. We assign terms and we assign names. Trashy, junky, ugly, punk, brat, jerk, stupid, lazy, poor, not good enough, worthless, no potential, spacey, irresponsible. And all of these names go from descriptors to sometimes they become identification markers. We come to, like, identify people by these negative terms. Has anyone ever said something negative about you? Anybody ever said something, whether it's to your face or behind your back, and the words went deep down and you took it on and you couldn't let it go, and all of a sudden it became a part of your identity and you start to think, gosh, maybe I am that. Like, maybe that is me. You see, names have power. Names have power. And I wonder how many students, how many of us here tonight have some names that we've picked up either from other people or even from our own thoughts about ourselves. And these names have become part of our identity, but they're completely counter to the way that God sees us. I wonder. See, when we look at the story of Gideon, what we see is this. We see a man who had some names that he'd picked up along the way in his life. He had some names that had become identifying markers in his life. And he'd picked them up along the way. And we're going to go back into what we just read. And I'm going to highlight some things for you. Because, as I said before, the whole premise of the book of Judges is that Israel sins. And then they cry out because they're being oppressed. And God would raise somebody up for them. And that's what's happening in this story. God's raising up Gideon. But you have to understand a little bit more about Gideon to understand the importance and the significance of the call that God actually gives to Gideon. You see, Gideon was a man who lived in a time of oppression. And his life was defined by one word, and that one word was fear. Fear completely defined the life of Gideon. You see, as we read before here, where Gideon lived, they were constantly being attacked, constantly being stolen from. And so Gideon's job was to hide the food that his family got. It says here when God visited him, he was beating down the wheat and hiding it from the Midianites. So Gideon's job essentially is to hide the provisions of his family so that it doesn't get stolen. And so it's a high job. If he messes up, if he doesn't do it right, then his family starves. And so this is a big, big deal. But Gideon is a person who's living in complete fear. When would they attack? What would they take? Would anybody be killed the next time the Midianites came up? They never knew when an attack would happen, so they would always be on edge. Maybe it's today. Maybe it's tomorrow. Maybe it's not till next week, but we don't know. We never know when we're going to be attacked. And so they live on the edge. They live in fear. So fear is how Gideon learned to operate. And that's what Gideon's personality was like, sneaking around, staying low, remaining anonymous, keeping a low profile. These are the things that are ingrained into the habits of life when fear rules a person's life. So day in and day out, what Gideon's job was to hide the food, hide the wheat, keep a low profile, always be on the lookout. Fear, fear, fear. Now, when a person lives in a state of fear, they feel as though they have very little control of their life. A person who lives in constant fear has a very low perception of themselves. They feel beaten down, they feel small, they feel oppressed. And this is evident because when we read about Gideon and we read the fullness of his life story, Gideon describes himself in words such as weak. He describes himself in words such as, I'm the least. He says this, my clan is the weakest, therefore I am completely weak. I'm the least in my father's house, therefore I'm a nobody. Gideon had taken on some names, weak, nobody, least, from a weak tribe, constantly oppressed. You have to keep that in mind, because when God comes to Gideon in verse 11, it makes what God says to him so much more significant. In verse 11, it says this, now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree at Ophrah, not Oprah, Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon was beating out the wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. So he's doing what he's always been doing, and the angel of the Lord comes to him and says this, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. Stop. O mighty man of valor. What did he call him? Mighty? Mighty what? On the outside, Gideon is not at all mighty. What did he call it? Mighty man of what? Mighty man of valor? That's the furthest thing from what Gideon is. Gideon's not a mighty man of valor. He's hiding around. He's sneaking around. He's living in fear. See, this is so significant, you guys, because God calls Gideon not by his name. He doesn't come to him and say, hey, Gideon, I'm here with you and I'm going to use you. He doesn't say, hey, young man from the tribe of Manasseh, hey, I'm here for you. I'm coming to meet with you. I'm coming to use you. He calls him something very specific. He says, O mighty man of valor. You see, the significance of this is this, you guys. God saw something inside of Gideon that Gideon didn't see inside of himself. And so by calling him, O mighty man of valor, God was basically saying, listen, Gideon, I don't know what you think about yourself. I don't know what labels or what names you've attached to yourself, but I see something inside of you that is so much greater than any term you've been labeled or anything that you think about yourself. You know what? You might see yourself as a person of fear. You might see yourself as a person who's oppressed. Others might see you that way. Do you know what I see, Gideon? I see a mighty man of valor. And that's a huge, huge principle. And it's a bottom line for tonight, you guys. And it's this, is that God has given you a name behind the name. See, the name behind, Gideon's name was Gideon, right? And he had some other labels that had been attached to him. Oppressed one, fearful one, weak one. But there was a name that God had that was behind the name. It was this, O mighty man of valor. And with that, God spoke this truth to him, and it was this, that God saw things in Gideon that Gideon didn't see in himself. And the same is true for you, that God sees things in you that you sometimes don't even see in yourself. And what God wants to do is he wants to call those things out. He wants you to grab hold of those things. He wants you to believe in those things. He wants you to walk in those things just like he wanted Gideon to do. He called him mighty man of valor. And he says, I want to use you to deliver your people, regardless of what you think about yourself. God saw a name behind the name that Gideon had given himself. Question for you tonight is this, what are the names that you've been holding on to that you need to let go of? What are names that you've been holding on to, whether it was other people who said these things about you, or whether it's like names that you've given to yourself that you need to release and say, God, like, that's not how you see me. God saw things in Gideon that Gideon never saw, and God sees things in you that you don't see. When God called Gideon and he said, O mighty man of valor, another significant thing about this call was this, is that by calling him that, God showed Gideon that he had a bigger vision for him than he had for himself. I think that this is significant because I think many students today have a small or a non-existent vision for their life. I think that some of that's because of fear. I think some of it's because of insecurity or doubt. But I know that God sees great vision for your life. I know that God sees great things inside of you that you might not even realize about yourself. And he wants to reveal those things. He wants you to grab hold of them, and he wants you to walk in them. Do you have a non-existent vision for your life? Do you have a small vision for your life? Well, I challenge you that God has something bigger. God has something more for your life, a bigger vision. See, God doesn't see the things on the outside. God sees things that are going on inside. Reminds me of the story of David. You guys know the story of David when he was about to be anointed king. Samuel came to David's house and all of David's brothers were lined up, and Samuel thought, well, one of these guys has got to be the next king, and because they looked like kingly folk on the outside. And David wasn't even there. David was left in a field somewhere. And Samuel started going through the list, going through the brothers, and it was really clear, like, no, this isn't the king. No, this isn't the king. And finally, Samuel gets to the end, and he's like, none of these guys are qualified. Like, who are we going to find? And all of a sudden, David shows up, and God says, that's the king right there. That's the king. And God says this. He says, don't consider his appearance. Don't consider his height. Don't look at the things on the outside, because man looks at those things. But I look at the heart. I look inside. See, God sees things in you that you don't see even in yourself. God sees things in you that he wants to call out. He wants to call out mighty men of valor. He wants to call out mighty women of valor.